Hello, welcome to episode 12 of All Songs Are Love Songs. In this special behind-the-scenes episode, I chat with Judge Erica about season one of All Songs Are Love Songs podcast. There will be spoilers and references to previous episodes, so if you haven't listened to any of the previous episodes yet, you should do that now. Following this episode, the next one will be the finale of season one, featuring Lee Mason and, for the first time, the Supreme Court of Erica. But for now, on with the episode.
All songs, love songs.
We have come towards the end of this season one of All Songs Are Love Songs, so I thought we probably should have started the season with some of the background of the premise, but we're going to do it now.
Yeah, I think it's a great time. Once people are hooked, now we can tell them the backstory.
Yeah, if you've made it this far, congratulations and thank you. And now it's time for us to explain who we are and why we're doing this.
Yeah.
So I work as a cruise ship piano bar entertainer, where I sit at a piano and spending hours each night taking requests from the crowds that come in there, and people sing along and it's a grand old time. But of course, because I'm taking requests all the time, I learn so many songs. I've got thousands of songs in my repertoire, as you well know. And one night I was playing and I went, oh, this one's a love song. And I played it. And then I played the next song and I went, oh, this one's a love song too. And I started feeling like every song I played was a love song. So I started saying, this next one's a love song. And it became a little running joke on the cruise that this started on. I can't remember when it was exactly, but it became a running joke, this next one's a love song. Especially if it was something that wasn't a love song. And people would be, what about this one? And then I would explain in some obscure way why it was a love song. And so it became a running joke. And then guests would say, you should do this as a podcast. So we did. That's where it came from. Yeah.
I think that it definitely kind of it became a running joke. And then as we had more time in quarantine and in lockdown, we're like, hey, wouldn't this be really fun to argue why every song's a love song? And it kind of just evolved.
It's been a lot of fun. What I really enjoy is finding some really absurd rationale or a strange argument about something. And this suited me really well to firmly lock myself in on one side so that no matter what, I always have to argue that every song is a love song, that all songs are love songs.
Yeah.
It was a really strange and entertainingly challenging position to be in. Yeah. And it's been tough. They haven't made it easy for me. And so, of course, you being with me here we are together in Canada.
Yes, we are.
And Erica, since you've got such great expertise in the world of entertainment, I thought you'd make such a fantastic judge. And I was right. You've been an amazing judge. But since you're the one always asking this question, let me ask you, what is the expertise that you're bringing to the courtroom as the judge?
Well, as you mentioned, Rowan, I have many years under my belt of working in entertainment on cruise ships and being, in fact, the entertainment director, so I see all sides and facets of entertainment. I have also come from a background of musical theater, so I acted and sang and danced growing up, so I've always been surrounded by music. And I did play the piano as well once upon a time many years ago, but I don't know if that's relevant.
Strong background in music and performance, and then now you're the big boss lady when it comes to the entertainment on the cruise lines. Mm-hmm. So, which in fact is how we met. You were my boss lady.
I was your boss's boss lady.
Yeah. Still are. In general, we've put these out more or less in the order that we recorded them. Mm-hmm. So what happened was early on, we just asked a few of our close friends to be on it, and they very kindly obliged and put together some surprisingly well-constructed arguments.
Really, it's well-constructed arguments.
And even from the start, the first one, the Imperial March with Budgie, he really came into it fighting hard. And I thought it was going to be some really just light entertainment, but it's grown as it goes along, hasn't it?
It really has. And people are really, like, digging deeper and looking into these songs and the origins of them, and that the ABCs were written from a poem, like things. I'm learning things that I never knew or thought I would learn.
Me too. I've really enjoyed the researching on my part. Yeah. Sometimes I do the research and my heart drops a bit. I go, oh, I'm going to really struggle with this argument. Sometimes I do the research and I go, aha,
Yeah, I've got them.
I've got you. I know what I'm going to do with this one. Sometimes it's about finding an angle.
Yeah.
And it doesn't always work. You brought up the ABC coming from a poem. I was so sure I had that one in the bag. But the judge can be fickle.
The judge can be fickle. But also, what I had to try to remember is just like a real courtroom. It's all about whether you can convince the judge, convince the gallery, because, you know, as there wouldn't be defense lawyers if all criminals were guilty and all, or some were all, I don't know, we might want to edit out that metaphor. Courtrooms are not necessarily always about the truth or the truth intention. They're about convincing arguments. And sometimes,
that's right.
Once I realized that, I kind of was like, oh, right, I don't need to. I think at the beginning, I got really like focused some days on like what is like getting to the bottom of it, and like it stressed me out a little bit. And then once I kind of realized, just let the arguments come, and whoever convinces you, that's who gets to win.
I must admit, I had a little bit of a sense, and I don't want to step on or claim that what we're doing is in any way on the level of an actual courtroom or real crime and punishment, but I certainly got a sense of the helplessness of someone else making the decision, where I can come and I make my best argument, and if that's not enough to convince the judge, I just lose. Yeah. And that's it. I can't stop that. I'm completely at the mercy. And it was sometimes frustrating if I felt like I'd made a really good argument and I couldn't then control the outcome. Even if I still believed I'm right, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
But there were times that I wasn't sure. I didn't know which way it was going to go. And I also wasn't sure that I'd made the best argument either.
There were some days that I wanted to jump in as the prosecution and fight you. that must be, I can only imagine if I felt so torn with what songs are love songs, how a judge in an actual courtroom, court of law must feel. They must just want to get in there all the time because like...
Yeah, imagine spotting something that the lawyer missed.
Yeah.
As the judge, when it's not your role to say... You've forgotten to point out such and such.
Actually, sir, could you please? But that's a couple times I've wanted to jump in there.
And certainly we listen to a lot of true crime podcasts and history podcasts. And so there are always stories of judges who are just a bit old and cranky, or maybe they're in a bad mood. So people suffer for the judge's mood or things like that. So it's certainly not a precise science, and it was never as simple as we present the technically better argument, you detect the technically better argument and make the decision. It was never going to be that. It was always going to be a subjective convince Erica.
Yeah.
But there's a sense of helplessness with that. Yeah,
I imagine so.
All songs are love songs. All songs are love songs. All songs are love songs. All songs are love songs.
Are there any that you might have changed your mind about, or any that were close calls at the time, or are you happy with every judgment?
I think I'm happy with every judgment because every judgment is reflective of how I was convinced at the time. And perhaps if you know, as we were going, I don't know if I can say that we're going to have a Supreme Court, if there were an alternate argument, or perhaps a different prosecutor had argued a different song, maybe they would have changed my mind a certain way. But I think I was authentic to exactly what that microcosm was at the minute. So
interesting. On some of the ones that I lost, I was kicking myself for how I'd argued, or feeling that when someone's doing their rebuttal, it's so hard not to have the last word.
Yeah.
When you, especially if they say something in the rebuttal that you just want to be like, no, but so yeah. Having that structure was really tough.
Yeah.
And things like, the Crazy Frog, where Lee pointed out that I had just entirely misdirected my argument, and that what I'd argued, in fact, wasn't relevant. So I was talking about the feelings that the song gives you, and he said in his rebuttal, but Your Honor, the feeling it gives you isn't, doesn't make it a love song.
Yeah.
And that was it. And I had to just go, well, great point.
Yeah, that one really got me. There has been some amazing research and argument. Do you have any, like, favourite arguments from a guest?
There are some really, really fantastic ones in there. And some of the songs that people brought were extremely creative. I really enjoyed Randy saying in the David Bowie one that nobody is capable of love.
Yeah.
Yes. I thought that was a pretty extreme, pretty extreme way to come at it.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed Matt Eastwood's attempt to trick his way to a win with "This Ain't a Love Song."
Yeah, that was a bold move, and it was again. I think sometimes I'm like, oh, does this happen in a real courtroom? Like, do people try to bait the judge? I was having none of that.
He was trying to trick you.
He was
trying to trick you into saying the title. There were some really fantastic ones. Sophie Lamont really, really, really brought it with the musicals.
She really brought it. I was very
Lauren as well. It's really fantastic levels of research that people have brought. Jamie with the ABCs.
Oh, she nailed that. She really nailed the ABCs. Yeah.
The first one was an instrumental, the Imperial March, which was a bit of a benchmark.
Mm-hmm.
Because it set the tone at basically nothing is off limits. Should we allow, for example, children's rhymes or nursery rhymes or TV themes? And just decided, well, no holds barred.
Yeah, let's just do it.
No holds barred. Any song, anything you can call a song, bring it.
Yeah.
Let's go for it. Just for the, set it. Set the challenge difficulty all the way to high.
Amps to 11, let's go.
And yet I was not expecting the very first one to be an instrumental. But that's the thing. We find really fun little angles to come from. The Imperial March being derived from the Funeral March, which is definitely a love song.
Yeah.
It's really interesting arguments in there. And I think my favourite one, Sophie Lamont.
Ooh, yep.
Hasadiga Ibaway.
That was a really hard one.
How on earth was I supposed to argue that that's a love song? And I know, of course, I have to hold this position because this is my show.
Yeah.
And that's the position that I've taken. That's the whole premise.
Yeah.
Is that I'm convinced and trying to convince everyone else that all songs ever written are love songs. But
that she really got you. And that, but it was brilliantly
argued. How could I have possibly convinced you?
You couldn't. You didn't.
Sophie was a formidable opponent.
Sophie really brought it. Like, she's such a great competitor. I really enjoyed, I think one of my favorite of your arguments was Family Reunion.
Yeah, I loved that one too.
I enjoyed the tribute to George Carlin. Taking it back, it made me, really think of a time of, like, censorship and fighting the man and...
Stick it to the man.
Yes, I really enjoyed it.
That was one for me too. That I, what I was saying before, some of them I researched and went, I don't know what I'm going to do here. That one I started researching and was just punching the air going, I've got him. Got him with this. It's an homage. Because sometimes I think, especially when you're convincing a person, you just got to find... A phrase or a point that drives it home in a way that appeals to you, to the judge.
Yeah.
For example, with Dreadlock Holiday, we get with Mark.
Mm-hmm.
And I really enjoyed learning more about... I didn't know any of the background of that song at all until we started researching it. But with that one, Mark made a fantastic and compelling argument.
Yeah, he did.
And I thought, really well. I thought he might well win that one. I had no idea which way you were going to rule. But... as it turned out, it was those words by...
Oscar Wilde.
Oscar Wilde, yeah. That's right. Imitation, the greatest form of flattery.
Yeah. Well, and take we listen to so many true crime podcasts and things, and you do... I know it's a lot of it is... Some of that is scripted in some of the shows and things, but you do hear them talk about judges and, well, this judge is hard on this or that, or like...
Yeah.
And I think that maybe is something that... I think when you're dealing with human beings... You knowing the strengths and weaknesses of that person helps no matter what, in no matter what kind of court. And I think we may have casually mentioned it, but I'm not sure if everyone realizes that although we live in the same house, when we record the episodes, we sit in different rooms.
Yes.
So that so you don't have any advantage as to like seeing my features of seeing like if I'm smiling, if I'm enjoying, you have only the verbal cues just like the defense.
That's right. All of us are only hearing each other through our headphones.
Yeah.
I must say also the other one, Matt Morrison, that the most recent one, Disciple by Slayer, That's one that I looked up the lyrics. I've never heard the song. Yeah. Looked up the lyrics and watched it on YouTube and just went, oh no.
Yeah. That I didn't have much faith in you for that one, to be honest. But you nailed it.
Well, it's about finding the angle, and the ones that I think where I succeeded against the odds were the ones where I found a quirky angle. Like that one where it was comparing it to Alanis Morissette.
Yeah.
Or the Humpty Dumpty bringing in the idea that it's about erectile dysfunction.
That one, you really...
Left-field kind of arguments there.
Really snuck up on James for that one. I don't think he knew it was happening. It was a great one.
He'd made a great argument, though. Yeah. It was just convincing you sometimes means a little humour or just a little something that appeals to your... Your sense of justice or righteousness or humour.
Yeah, absolutely.
Sometimes I managed it. Sometimes someone else got you on that.
All songs and love songs. All songs and love songs. All songs and love songs. All songs and love songs.
Greatest defeat.
Yeah, who whooped me the worst?
Ooh. I think I've got to give it to Jamie.
Oh no, that's the one I'm angriest about.
Well, that's probably why it's the greatest defeat. Yeah.
Oh boy, that's one where I was genuinely upset by the outcome. I've got no skin in the game here. I didn't write any of these songs.
Yeah.
There's no impact on whatever happens. But that was one where I really thought that I had it. But Jamie pulled you over to her side, yeah, and I was really annoyed about it.
Yeah, I that one was a really hard decision, and I think she worked really hard and you worked really hard.
Yeah, she'd done an incredible amount of research on that one. I figured once we decided that we would have an appeals court, but of course we've got to use it sparingly, we can't be having appeals all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
And Lee perfectly reasonably had a case.
Yeah.
But I figured that I should, as the host, surely have at least one opportunity to appeal something. I was planning on appealing the ABC.
Yeah.
I wanted to refight that one because I was so annoyed about it. But I figured I could only have one appeal. And after Lee won at the appeals court, I was so, so incensed.
Now you've taken it to the by Supreme Court. By
that one. Given the chance to overturn the ABC not to overturn, but to revisit to have the battle again over the ABC or to try and take back Killing in the Name of. Oh, if it's a close call, I would have loved to fight Jamie again on the ABC, but I have to go with the escalating from the Court of Appeals to the Supreme Court of Erica.
Yes. Oh, I'm so excited to be the Supreme Court of Erica.
It's been really exciting. The process, putting together the podcast, editing it, bringing on guests, and just seeing how the guests have really embraced it, how much you've embraced it, and how the people listening have enjoyed and kept coming back, and how listenership has grown. It's just been so exciting, and I'm really humbled by all of it, and really glad that people came and listened. And we will have one more episode. One more episode, which will be our Supreme Court, where you will have to decide, out of Lee and I, who wins the final battle over Killing in the Name of by Rage Against the Machine.
And, you know, I have to give you some extra props because when we record and I don't really think about it, and then they come out. And every time I listen to the actual final episode, I feel like you've really put so much love and thought into editing them, and there's different segments and comments from Facebook and things like that that I just hadn't even considered, and it has really come together, and I think I'm really proud of you. I'm really impressed with the product that you've created.
Oh, thank you very much. I should also mention that I wrote the sting, the theme tune and the little stings and things.
Yeah.
I made those in GarageBand on my iPad.
Yep.
Not just for my podcast, Lee's podcast has a little jingle from me in it,
yes,
as well.
Yes, it does.
It's time for tea.
It's time for tea with Lee.
And I'm very proud of the one. It gets stuck in my head all the time.
Yeah.
especially after I've listened to an episode of Tea with Lee.
There's the second jingle that you gave him, and sometimes that one gets stuck in my head.
Randomly. Hey, are you thirsty? That one?
Yes.
I'm going to have to put these jingles at the end of this little behind the scenes episode, just so people know what on earth we're talking about. When Lee was first considering doing a podcast, and I think he was planning on doing it as like a video series originally, but it's become a podcast. And he asked me, we were at sea at the time, we were all on a ship together.
Yeah.
And he asked me if I would write him a jingle. And I thought, wouldn't it be funny to just write him a selection of jingles and they're all awful in different ways. So I set out to write some terrible jingles and I came up with two in the end because he came and said, how are you doing with jingles? And I was only up to two. And I played him the first one, which I thought was hilariously dumb.
Yeah.
And he loved it. That's the one he uses on his podcast. Yeah. and then he loved that one and that's great. And it's nice.
Yeah.
And I'd written this other one, which was this ridiculous one that was kind of inspired by the Beastie Boys.
Yeah.
It's kind of what I was going for. And we'll play that one as well. And
that one gets stuck in my head.
I can't believe that one gets stuck in your head.
And I haven't heard it.
Tea with Lee.
Yeah. It's so funny.
Well, thank you so much, Judge Erica, for being amazing always, all throughout the series.
Thank you, Rowan, for having me and for being wonderful.
We do have some ideas for season two, which won't be about love songs necessarily, but we'll see how those develop as we go over. We're heading into the holiday season, so
yeah.
We're going to take a break after we've finished our Supreme Court episode.
Yes.
Thank you so much, everyone, for listening, and we will see you for our final episode next time.
Yeah. Hit us up on Instagram, All Songs We Love Songs, or on Facebook, at All Songs We Love Songs, to continue the discussion.
All Songs We Love Songs. 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 Thank you so much for listening to our behind-the-scenes chat. And I'd like to also mention that the podcast cover art was designed by my amazing sister, Holly. Thank you, Holly. I've got some preparing to do now before my big bout at the Supreme Court. We'll see how that pans out on the next episode, the finale for Season 1. See you then. All songs, all songs, all songs, the love songs. Regarding the jingles we were talking about, if you would like to hear the Tea with Lee jingle, you can hear it right near the top of all of his episodes of Tea with Lee wherever you listen to podcasts. If you'd like to hear the one that didn't make the cut, the one inspired by the Beastie Boys, it's coming up right now.
Hey.
Sup?
Are you thirsty?
Yeah, a little.
How about some tea?
What? All by myself?
No, man. Tea with Lee.
Oh, that English guy.
He's got a wide selection of tea.
He seems very nice. Yeah, I'm down with that.
Tea with Lee.